Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living a Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living a Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and our series this time, the theme of it is entitled Time to Rise and Shine, Taking Spiritual Action. And with all the things that are happening in the world, many, many Course in Miracles students, many spiritual students around the world are wondering how they can be that loving presence in their family, in their community, and stay in their loving heart with the things that we see happening in the world and the things that we're experiencing in our family, in our workplace, in our political scene, in whatever's going on in our community around the world. I literally have just gone around the world and talked with people from many different countries about their concerns and how to take a loving perspective, a healing perspective, so that we can be the change that we'd like to see in the world. And my topic today is living without fear. So let's jump in with a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and to take a breath of love and gratitude with me and join with me in welcoming that divine connection with the higher Holy Spirit self. We're partnering up with Spirit. We're opening our mind, opening our heart, opening our awareness to a full realization of the truth that sets us free. We are grateful and thankful to be the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love for the holy purpose of remembering our true identity is already perfect, whole, and complete. We are already as holy can be. We are grateful and thankful to take a stand for living a life of love. So grateful that we don't have to figure out how to have a healing. We can simply allow. So we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting of figuring out how to have a healing. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing. We are willing to be willing. We are willing to be willing to be willing to be that loving, open-hearted space, that compassionate space in our family, in our community, in our workplace, with our friends, with ourselves. Grateful and thankful to consciously release any and all sense of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. Grateful and thankful to let go of any sense of worry, doubt, and fear. We're taking a stand for the truth in our own heart, setting ourselves free by practicing self-love. Truly grateful, we share the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. And in gratitude, we allow the healing to be. We let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. So this is our first class in a series of 11 classes, all free. And within a couple of days, you'll have the transcript. You can come back, get the download, get the transcript, and study it more if you like. I like to break down the experience of fear and share how we can move out of ever feeling afraid again so that we can literally let go of causing ourselves to be afraid. And this is one of the beautiful things about the teachings of A Course in Miracles is it tells us how to no longer be afraid. It tells us how to rise above the battleground. And I'll just share an example from my life where probably about 20 years ago, maybe a little more now, where I got struck with a very intense fear, very intense. And I felt physically agitated and upset, really trembling with fear. And it was so distressing and so upsetting. And I didn't know what to do. I felt overwhelmed and helpless. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I think a lot of us have felt overwhelmed and helpless at some point in time and frozen with fear. And in those moments, we often feel we just don't know what to do, where to turn to. And so in this moment, I was home alone. I don't even remember what I was afraid of, but it might have had something to do with money. And so what came into my mind, I'm sure it was divine guidance, what came into my mind was to pray. Now, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray or who to pray to or any of that. I had no instruction in prayer. Nobody had taught me anything about that. But I was willing. And what came into my mind was an image from a picture that was on the wall in my grandparents' house when I was a kid. And it was hanging over the bed. And in the image, it was an artist's rendering of a child kneeling at the foot of their bed with their hands in prayer. And the words on the picture said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the soul, pray the Lord, my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take." Something like that. And I had that image in my mind of this child kneeling at the foot of the bed in prayer. So I went as an adult and kneeled down at the foot of my bed. And I laid my head on the bed and I stretched my arms out on the bed in a conscious effort to be surrendered, to physically be surrendered. And when I laid my head on the bed, I said, "I will not live in fear. Help me. Help me. I will do whatever is asked of me, but I will not live in fear. Show me what to do. Help me now. I will do it." And within about an hour, I had an idea of what to do, and I made up my mind to do it. It felt like divine insight. And what I realized was not very long after that, I didn't feel very afraid anymore. The fear was truly dissipating. It was truly falling away. And so that taught me something. That taught me about the divine connection, about partnering up. A Course in Miracles says, a thousand or more different ways. Probably it says it several times on every page, and there's 1,300 pages with the text and the workbook, the manual for teachers, the glossary, etc. So probably several thousand times in this big, beautiful book, it says to not lean on our own opinions and judgments, but to, as I say, give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. We don't have to figure out how to have a healing, but we do have to be willing to allow the healing to happen. So we do have to be willing to invoke the Holy Spirit into our awareness and to let the Holy Spirit be our guide. In every moment, there are two options for our guide. And we have either the ego as our guide or we have the Spirit as our guide. And I was saying on the radio show earlier today that next month I'm going to be traveling to Thailand. I'm offering a retreat there, self-love and extreme pampering. You can still join me in that beautiful trip. And we're going to have a few days of sightseeing in Bangkok for those who wish to join. I've never been to Bangkok or Thailand, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about visiting the temples. I love going to cathedrals and temples and being able to sit and meditate and pray there. And so I was giving the example of the ego guide. It's like going on a tour of a beautiful place, an amazing, gorgeous place, and you go with a guide who's only pointing out where there's decay. The ego is pointing out where there's trash that's been dumped. The ego is pointing out where there's anger and frustration and hurt and everything along the route that's unpleasant that you'd rather not identify with or look at or even notice or see in any way. And the Holy Spirit is pointing out what's beautiful, what's helpful, what's true, what's loving, the opportunities to answer the cry for love and to be a loving presence. That's what the Holy Spirit is pointing out. So in every single moment, we can tell by how we feel which guide we are allowing to lead us, either the ego or the Spirit. You can tell by how you feel who is leading you, who is guiding you. Is it ego or Spirit? And if you don't like your guide, you can switch your guide. So that's the thing is, what I find is we get on the pain train and then we forget that we can get off and that there's help for us if we're willing to get off. But we do have to be the one who decides. So we're the decision maker. We decide which guide we're going to follow, but then we can allow the guide to lead us, especially if we're aligning with the Holy Spirit. We can let the Holy Spirit guide us. And let's face it, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us, when that higher self, that voice of love and beauty and truth and wisdom is guiding us, the ego, if we're not used to being led by the Spirit, the ego is going to say, no, 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 this is not good. We're going down the wrong path. We need to shift and change. How are we going to get where we want to go? And the ego will throw up a whole lot of smoke screen trying to get us to disengage from Spirit and to move into fearful, judgmental thinking. So we have to be willing to be cognizant or awake and aware to when we don't feel harmonious, because that's the indicator of who is guiding us or what is guiding us, the ego thought system or the higher self, the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I'll share with you, since we're starting out a new series here, and this is the first class, is all throughout this series, I will talk about the higher Holy Spirit self. I say that because I've met so many Course in Miracles students who talk about the Holy Spirit as though the Holy Spirit were separate from us and not part of our own being. Remember, we're all one. So the Holy Spirit is not separate from us. The Holy Spirit is our higher self. It is the voice of wisdom that is the voice of the I Am presence, or you could say the guardian angel, or in some traditions they say the white fire being. So the Holy Spirit is that higher self, the knower who knows. And so it's being willing to recognize and identify with the knower who knows that helps us to move out of the habits of fear. Now, one of the most important things for us to understand in order to be able to live without fear is we have to understand what is the cause of fear. What is the cause of fear? Because the appearance is that the cause of fear is in the world. The cause of fear is in our body, oh, my body is sick. Oh, my body is not as beautiful in the ways I think it should be. And I'm afraid for these reasons. Oh, I'm afraid because of my finances. Oh, I'm afraid because of, I might get fired from my job, or my spouse might be interested in somebody else. We're afraid because we think because of all these things that are happening in the world, but that is not true. It's absolutely just not true. But it sure does seem like that's the reason why we're afraid. Over and over again, we want to blame it, all the fear, on something that's happening in the world. And when we're taking that tack of thinking that we're afraid because of the terrorists, or we're afraid because of the political situation, or we're afraid because of our finances, or because of what's happening in our body or in our relationships, if we think that we're afraid because of something that's happening in the world, then we're being distracted by the ego. We won't ever really, or until we shift that thinking, we won't be able to move into the place of peace, because there will always be another disturbance and another disturbance and another disturbance in the world until we become unbotherable. And we aren't unbotherable because we're inured to fear, not at all. We're unbotherable because we're able to rise above the battlefield and see with an open heart. So I think one of the most helpful things I can share with you in terms of living without fear is to understand the root causes of fear. So the root cause of fear is how we view things. It's our belief system. So our beliefs come from our karma, you could say, our karmic history, our karmic past. That's where our beliefs come from. And I'm sitting outside because it's such a beautiful day, and I love to have the energy of nature around me when I'm teaching. And it's just a gorgeous fall day here in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm at the Art of Living Retreat Center. I just had a retreat here, and I'm going to have another retreat here at the end of the year. It's called New Year's Reboot. You can come and join me. End your 2016, start your 2017 with a reboot, a spiritual reboot. It's so wonderful to do that retreat, that deep healing and clearing and expansion and inspiring work together. So our beliefs are the cause of the fear. Okay, we believe our beliefs. So let me break this down for you. And you may have heard this many different ways by many different teachers. And I have a way of sharing it that some people find very helpful. I hope you will too. So there's the idea of negative karma. And for some people think about negative karma as being a punishment. We're being punished because of things and choices that we made in the past. And as it says over and over again in A Course in Miracles, God is not a punisher. Our experiences teach us. Every experience we have is a learning opportunity. As it says in the Course, all things work together for good. There are no exceptions. Another way it says it is, all things are lessons God would have me learn. Another way it says it is, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything, all situations, circumstances, and occurrences were gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? So the experience of what we could call negative karma is really when our beliefs, which are not true, are manifesting in our thoughts, and in our emotions, and in our physical body, and in our experiences. So in every moment, as I was saying before, you're listening to the guide of the ego or the spirit in every single moment. And when you're listening to the ego, what you're doing is you're operating from your belief system, from your history, from the past. So you're operating from what's false. what's a distortion of what's true. And it's always going to be, to some degree, painful when we're operating from the past and we're looking at the present moment as though it's new, but really we're just repeating the past and repeating the past and repeating the past. So let's say in a previous incarnation or when we were younger or at some point in our history in time and space, we made a decision about life. So maybe we made a decision that I'm stupid, or we made a decision I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me. Or maybe we made a decision that we're afraid of dogs, or that these kinds of people are untrustworthy, or that money is the root of all evil, or that it's better to be thin than to be fat. Okay, we make these kinds of decisions at some point in our history, and they become our belief system. It's like the karma is coagulated beliefs. And those beliefs then become a magnetizer into our awareness of thoughts that are congruent with them. So we literally are drawing into our awareness these thoughts that are congruent with our belief system. So it seems like, oh, this thought just occurred to me. I'm just having this thought now. But what it really is we're magnetizing into our awareness the same old thoughts, repeating and repeating and repeating the past. And that's extremely tedious for me to keep repeating the past. I don't know about you, but I've had so many times in my history when I repeated the same arguments with the same people again and again and again. You know, it's like I had different boyfriends, but they were showing up in the same way. My family just having the same arguments and the same discussions and the same upsets again and again and again. When that's happening, what it is telling you is that your spirit is answering your prayer to be set free of the past by putting it in your face so you can make a new choice around it. And that's one of the core teachings of A Course in Miracles, is that in order to no longer live with fear and be managing and coping with fear, you have to be willing to step back and be guided by the higher self, the Holy Spirit self. And when we're guided by the higher Holy Spirit self, then we're in alignment with truth. And truth is true. Beliefs are false. Truth is true. So truth is true for everyone all the time. And beliefs are false all the time. All our beliefs are opinions. They're judgments. They're our interpretations. They are the meaning we made of things. And they are always false. Truth is pure. Truth comes from divine vision. Truth is love expressing now. So when we're in our beliefs from the past, we're living in that past, repeating the past. When we're aligned with truth and listening to the voice of the higher self, then we're in the present moment now, and that's where we can experience love. Love is our healer. Why is love our healer? Why is love the only healer that there is of all upsets of any kind, whether it's financial, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual? All healing is from love, because love is our true identity. So when we remember to be loving, we're having a healing. When we forget to be loving, we're just delaying our healing. So when we forget to be loving, we feel afraid, we feel worried, we feel concerned, we feel less than, we feel not enough, we feel angry, we feel hurt, we feel betrayed. When we're unloving, there's going to be an upset every single time. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to be loving or unloving. We get to choose. We get to choose if we're unloving or loving in each and every moment. So I want to check in here with something. Give me just a moment. So when we are willing to know the truth, then we're having an experience of liberation. Then we can relax into a new experience. So beliefs are false all the time. Now, sometimes I say that and I can see that some people are going, what? All beliefs are false? All beliefs are a distortion? All beliefs are some past decision that we're now re-experiencing? Truth is true for everyone all the time. Our beliefs are the interpretations and the meaning we made of things. Now, I've had this experience many times in my life where I thought I was looking at something and perceiving correctly. And I thought I was looking at a situation and saying, okay, this is wrong and this is bad and this is good and this is right. And I can see clearly what's going on here. I know what this is about. And I'm standing in my right mind and I know what's good and bad and right and wrong here. I know it. I feel confident that I know it. And then something changes and I realize, oh, I totally was looking at things from a wrong perspective. And Spirit always gives me these great examples to share with people. So here's one of my most, colorful examples of being completely wrong. So I had an experience years ago where I had a date, a Friday night date set up with a man I was really interested in, and I was excited for that date. It was going to be our first date, and it was Friday night, so it's, you know, special Friday night date. I was feeling special, and one of the teachings of A Course in Miracles is how when we need to be special, then we're operating from the ego. So I was definitely operating from the ego, feeling so special with my Friday night date with this man I was excited to spend time with. And on Friday, I thought I would hear from him about when he was going to pick me up and what we were going to do and things like that. And I definitely was happy to leave it to him to figure it all out. He had asked me out. So I never heard from him. He totally stood me up on Friday night. And it was one of those things, do I get dressed up? I haven't heard from him. I wasn't sure. And I did get dressed up just in case. We were definitely going to have a date. And he was a no-show. And I was disappointed. I was angry. I felt that he had treated me poorly and that he was a so-and-so. And, I was angry with him. And I started attacking him in my mind, thinking, you know, how dare you treat me this way? And I'm never going to stand for that again. I would never go out with you again. Who do you think you are? I had all those kinds of thoughts. And I thought I was really in the right, that I had that righteous anger and I had a right to be angry. So the next morning, I get a call from him. And he says to me, Jennifer, I'm so sorry. I know we had a date last night. Here's what happened. I was hospitalized yesterday, and I didn't have much battery on my phone. I lost the juice on my phone, and I couldn't call you. And I am so sorry because I know I stood you up, and I just got out of the hospital, got my phone plugged in so I could call you, and I just hope that you can forgive me. And so I didn't miss a beat. I was just like, oh, honey, well, I knew something terrible must have happened to you because I just knew you wouldn't stand me up like that. Yikes. So in that moment, you can see I thought I was right about how wrong he was for standing me up. It never in a million years occurred to me that he could possibly be in the hospital and unable to reach me. I made the meaning of it because of my low self-esteem. I made an interpretation of it because of my lack of self-love, that he was treating me that way because I was unworthy of love, and that's why I was angry. That's why I was upset. I was angry and upset because underneath that anger was the fear that maybe I'm not good enough for him or for someone else, and that there's something wrong with me. I had that belief that there's something wrong with me, and it was showing up as my life experience. But what I didn't realize was it was showing up so I could heal the false belief about myself. The truth was, he was actually, in a sense, an angel helping me to see where I wasn't loving myself. Because the truth is, if I, in that time, had really loved myself, I would not have been angry that he stood me up. And since then, I haven't ever had that experience again, but if I did have that experience now, I would go to a kind of place, well, maybe I dodged a bullet there. Maybe something's going on I don't understand, but I trust that all things work together for good. So maybe now I'll do something else tonight. I'll go out to the movies, or I'll stay home and do something at home. But all is well. And I wouldn't make the meaning of it that they were doing something unkind to me. Because now I know the universe is a benevolent universe and people aren't doing things to me. Everything is an opportunity for me to learn and grow and heal my mind. All things work together for good. There are no exceptions. So when we feel afraid, when we feel upset, when we feel agitated, it's because we have moved into a place where we're making an exception. And for a moment, at least, we're saying, wait, hold on a second. God, I don't think all things are working together for my good. I think this is working for my bad. And I'm pretty sure I know that I'm right about this. So, God, you can just take a hike. Or maybe I feel like God has abandoned me and left the building, and now I'm here on my own, and I have to figure out who's good and bad and who's right and wrong and what is right and wrong. And and now I'm really afraid because I am just not open-minded enough to see through all directions of time and space to actually be able to discern what everything is for. That's why I love that Course in Miracles lesson. Oh, my God, that has helped my life so much. I don't know what anything is for. That's the lesson. I do not know what anything is for. So let me not judge. And since I don't know the exact purpose of everything that's going on in my life, I can just take it as it's for my learning, it's for my healing, it's for my good. That's what everything in my life is for my good. So everything can be a revelation of truth. It can be. But my beliefs will interfere with that. Now, when our beliefs interfere with our ability to discern the truth and know the truth and rest in the truth and feel the peace of the truth, the purity of the truth, the divine vision of the truth, when we're caught up in our beliefs, every single time we're going to feel agitated, fearful, upset, depressed, sad, anxious, worried, jealous, resentful, regretful, shamed. We're going to feel some kind of emotional upset that's unpleasant. That's how we know we're caught revisiting the past and living in our belief system rather than living in the truth. When we're living in the truth, we feel peaceful, we feel joyful, we feel harmonious, we feel protected and provided for, we feel illumined, that we know we're light beings, that we're divinely cared for in every moment. But when we're in the guidance of the ego and repeating the past and the belief systems, we're going to feel agitated and upset. Now, what Jesus tells us in the fear and conflict section is, I love this. He says, before you choose to do anything, ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. Fear is always a sign of strain arising whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. So if what you would like is to experience being in the flow of love, but what you do is you judge, you criticize, you complain, then you are not being divinely guided. So if what you would like to experience is abundance and prosperity and healing of the physical body and the emotional body and the mental body, if what you would like is to feel that expansion and feel the glory of God as your very life, call upon Jesus, call upon the Holy Spirit as your guide, call upon love as your guide. If you're feeling upset, irritated, frustrated, annoyed, agitated in any way, you've got the ego as your guide. And you are the decision maker. You decide who's guiding you. Now, I have come to call that, the upset, the divine alarm clock going off. So when the divine alarm clock is letting you know, danger, 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 you're thinking something that's not actually true, you can recognize the divine alarm clock. You can feel it. You start to feel agitated and frustrated. Your thoughts start to be repetitive, worrisome thoughts, angry thoughts, sad thoughts, the old thoughts coming back again and again, and you're like a hamster on a wheel. That's how you know there's a wonderful healing opportunity for you right then and there. But if you don't take the healing opportunity, instead you hit the snooze button and you let that alarm just go to snooze and you keep hitting the snooze button, every time you get upset, you keep thinking, I'm upset because of what's happening in the world, and you start trying to manage and cope with what's happening in the world, then you're in the position that I used to be in all the time, and it's that you're trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic while it's going down, and you're ignoring the water is rising, the water is rising, the water is rising, and it's time to get out of there. Find a boat, get out of there, instead of rearranging the deck chairs. So for me, I had this coping mechanism of managing and trying to make the world different, because I was so convinced that my fear, my worry came from the situations and circumstances of the world. That's why living without fear and talking about this is so valuable to me, because I've really come to see that the only fear I can experience is a direct result of my beliefs that are false. And I don't have to figure out how to have a healing. I just have to move to that guide, the Holy Spirit guide, the Jesus guide, the love guide, the higher self guide, and move away from the ego guide, because the ego is always going to take me on a tour of what isn't attractive, what isn't beautiful, what isn't love, what isn't whole, what isn't magnificent. That's the ego's always going to be pointing out what seems to be negative. But that's because the ego thought system is just one judgment after another, one complaint after another. So when I'm complaining, when I'm judging, when I'm criticizing, I'm aligned with the ego, and I can switch to being guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the things that Jesus says to us in this fear and conflict section in chapter 2. I think it's one of the most valuable sections in the whole book. It's just a couple of pages, fear and conflict. And if fear is a real issue for you, I encourage you to read this section day after day after day. Just read it every day for a week, and then go back and revisit it once a week from there if you're still dealing with lots of fear, because it says clearly in there, Jesus says, you want me to take the fear away from you. Remember how I put my head on the bed, as I was saying in the beginning, and I said that prayer, show me what to do. and take the fear away. I won't live in fear. I won't live. I wanted someone to take that fear away from me. But what the fear was showing me was that my thinking was stinking. And what Jesus says in the fear and conflict section is, if we take the fear away from you, if you don't feel fear anymore, you won't know when you're delusional. You won't know when you have bought your belief system again. You won't know the difference between living in alignment with love and living in alignment with thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, which is the ego thinking. You won't know if you don't actually feel the fear. So the fear is that divine alarm clock going off to let you know, to remind you, danger, 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 time to change your mind. It took me a long time to get this, like I said, because I kept being convinced that I was afraid because of the situations and circumstances of my life. It took me a long time to really get that it was my thoughts about the world that were frightening me. And so in terms of our theme of it's time to rise and shine and taking spiritual action, the greatest spiritual action we can take is to get rid of the stinking thinking. And I think one of the most helpful realizations I've ever had in my whole entire life is that I don't have to figure out how to get rid of the stinking thinking. All I have to be willing to do is allow the heavy lifting to be done by the higher Holy Spirit self. I don't have to figure out how, I just have to allow. And every time I feel that divine alarm clock going off, what it really is I like to think of it this way, that it's like I used to live in New York and ride the subway to work and things like that. So the train comes in the station. I call it the pain train. It's a train of thought, the stinking thinking train. So the pain train comes into the station of our mind. First, there's the thought, I'm not good enough. Something's wrong with me. I'm bad. They're bad. Some kind of opinion or judgment arrives in the station of our mind, the train station of our mind. And that train of thought, we can decide to ride it or to let it move on through. And so it took me a long time to recognize, oh, I don't have to get on that train of thought. I can't change my mind. I can't turn away from it. If I don't rely on my own power, I can decide I am turning away from it, but I don't have to figure out how to have the healing. I can give all of that to the higher Holy Spirit self. But we do have to be the one that makes the decision to choose healing. But how the healing will unfold, how it will ever happen, we don't have to figure that out. And this is one of the most critical messages of A Course in Miracles. And over the years, I've talked to many, many Course in Miracles students who've been listening to these classes over the last 6 years that they say to me, oh, my God, Jennifer, I never thought about living A Course in Miracles the way you're talking about. I've been studying this book for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, even 30 years, and I'm still getting on the pain train. And I didn't even realize that I could partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and not even get on the pain train. But it takes a willingness to be aware. It takes a willingness to release the attachment that we have to the meaning that we've made of things, to our judgments and opinions. And if you think about the early lessons of A Course in Miracles, they're all about, I don't know what anything is for. They're all about everything that I see in this world, in this room, in this on the street that I live. I've given it the meaning that it has for me. And it's the meaning that it has for me that upsets me. So we look at the world and the situations and circumstances in our family, in our workplace, in our body, in the political landscape, in the world landscape, and we think that we're upset because of what's happening in the world, but we're actually upset because of the meaning we're making of it. It's our interpretation of it. Because everything that we see in the world that's a display of people's upsets and emotions is a display of healing, believe it or not. Everything that we see, including every war, every terrorist act, is a display of people healing their minds. Because this is a progressive universe that we live in. And we're not spiraling down, we're spiraling up. And the spiral is not the way that we often think of it, like a spiral staircase. It's just rising and rising. It's more of a loop that goes up as we have an insight and we have a revelation of truth, that we have a willingness to be loving and compassionate. And so we seem to spiral up and ride that wave of love. And then what it seems like energetically is sometimes we seem to go back down into it, into where we've been, the judgments and the opinions. And when that happens, many spiritual students will go into this place of, oh my God, here I am again. I thought I got rid of those causes of fear, but now here it is again. Oh my God, I'm such a failure. I can't maintain this. What's wrong with me? And when that happens, what it really is you're being given another opportunity to clear away more judgments, more opinions, more of your beliefs that are false, more of the distortions and the painful ways of viewing the present moment through the lens of the past. Because, again, we must be the decider. And this is one of the most helpful prayers for us in releasing fear. It's the one on page 90. And I personally call it the parent's prayer. And it goes, and listen to this, okay? This is at the end of chapter 5. And it's right at the very end of chapter 5, which is entitled Healing and Wholeness. So it says that the first step in the undoing of the pain and the suffering, the sense of separation, is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly. We decided wrongly for separation, for the false, for the distortion, for the pain, for the past. We made that decision, but can just as actively decide otherwise. Be very firm with yourself in this and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement in peace. So returning to the past or to the point in your mind where you made the decision where the error was made. Now, sometimes you may not be able to recognize it, but sometimes you might. Sometimes you might realize, okay, the pain and suffering I'm feeling now is because I'm judging myself as being a loser, as being a bad spiritual student, as being deficient or defective in some way. The pain I'm feeling now is because I'm judging myself. Okay, I get that. So I can see that I made that decision to judge myself. That's what it means about returning your thinking to the point at which the error was made. And then give it over to the atonement means really give it to the Holy Spirit, the higher self, for the healing. I say give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting. And here's how you give it over. It has this beautiful prayer, and it says, say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. And so here's what we say. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God, for me. So you see how the ego would not want to do this. The ego wants to figure everything out by itself. In fact, one of the great causes of fear that we experience is we think we have to figure it out. We think we have to understand it. Like someone is behaving in a crazy way. Our coworker, our boss, our spouse, our child, they're doing something that seems insane and crazy and self-destructive or mean and incomprehensible. And we think we have to figure it out and we have to find a solution. And then when we're in that mindset, we're thinking, God has left the building. I'm on my own. I don't know how I'm going to figure this out. I don't have the resources to figure it out. I've been abandoned. Now think about this. In terms of fear, one of the most intense issues that people have is abandonment issues. One of the most intense issues that people have is feeling abandoned. And it starts with feeling abandoned by God. But God has not left the building, and not one person is abandoned by God. In fact, one of my favorite sections in A Course in Miracles is where Jesus says that people say that when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before I was, you know, taken into custody, that was the worst night of my life because I felt abandoned by God and by my friends. And he says in the Course, but nothing could be further from the truth, because I did not feel abandoned, because I know it's not even possible for me to be abandoned. However, when in our mind we have closed off the flow of love, the flow of beauty, the flow of truth through the mechanism of our judgments, our complaints, our criticisms, our attack thoughts, we have shut the door on love. We've shut the door on God. And then we turn around and say, you abandoned me. I feel abandoned by God. But it's really not that at all. And A Course in Miracles talks about this pervasive guilt. And it's the guilt that we left God in our minds. But the truth is, we're of God. So how could we ever actually leave God? It's a delusion that we could leave God or separate from God. So the fear of abandonment, which is such a strong fear in the human mind, in the ego thought system, is really a projection of God has abandoned us because we abandoned God. But it's just not true. We're part of God. How could we be abandoned by God? It's like saying a drop of water, which sprays up into the air, is somehow abandoned by the ocean. No. No. And that drop of water might have the experience of evaporating and becoming a mist, and then becoming a cloud, and then becoming rain and falling back to the earth and traveling across the land, in the river to the ocean, and back to source again. Did the ocean abandon that drop of water? Or did the drop of water just go on an adventure and come back to source with that experience? So in our minds, we're having this adventure. And in our minds, many of us have made the meaning that God has abandoned us. And so we feel terrified every time that it seems like someone is abandoning us. We're re-experiencing this belief that God has abandoned us because we're not good enough, because we're so unloving, because we're so judgmental, because we're so critical, because we're complaining so much. So we have all this judgment against ourselves. We think that God has it and that other people have it, and that's why we're feeling abandoned. But if we can look at it the way it truly is, that fear is helping us to have a healing. That when there's a disturbance in the field, it's that divine alarm clock going off, letting us know we got on the pain train, we can get off by calling upon the guide, the Holy Spirit, to walk with us and talk with us and help us to purify our mind. We don't have to figure out how to purify our mind. We can just give that task to the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing that's really helpful in understanding how this fear, the causes of fear, begin and take hold of us is to recognize that our belief system is magnetizing into our awareness thoughts that aren't true. And any thought that's not true is going to disturb us because we are the life of God, because our mind is the mind of God, because our heart is the heart of God. Any time that we ever, ever believe something that's not true, it's going to feel like a disturbance. And that alarm clock is going to go off. Like Jesus says to us in the fear and conflict section, you wouldn't want me to take away the experience of fear, because otherwise you would have no way to identify when your thinking is thinking. You would just be hitting that snooze button and you wouldn't ever get out of this loop of time and space. You'd be stuck here forever. So the feelings of fear, the emotional feelings of fear, the thoughts, the intense hamster wheel thoughts that go on, all of that is helping us to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. So it starts with a thought that's not true. That causes the agitation. When we continue to believe the thought that's not true, then we become emotionally upset and we start to feel irritated and frustrated and afraid and anxious and worried and doubtful and jealous and hurt and depressed and sad and in regret and resentment and all of these things. All those different ways that the divine alarm clock is going off. And if we don't do anything when we're experiencing all this upset, even if it's very minor seeming, if we don't do anything, if we don't call upon the guide for truth, then what happens is it starts to move into our physical body, right? So we get a headache. We feel sick to our stomach. Our throat closes up. And if we keep letting that go on and go on without doing anything, then it becomes painful experiences. It becomes distress in the body. It becomes illness and agitation. It becomes all of these things. And all of these manifestations of our beliefs being made manifest in the world of form as our experiences have the same holy purpose of helping us to recognize the divine alarm clock going off. So nothing bad is happening to us. It's all our own higher self, the Holy Spirit, seeking to express in a way that will get our attention so that we will align with the divine and choose again. So this is one of the major themes of A Course in Miracles, choose again, choose again, choose again. So every time there's agitation or upset of any kind, you can say, oh, I must have gotten on the pain train. I'm going to get off right now. I'm just going to call upon the Holy Spirit. We don't have to figure out how to get off the pain train. We just say, Holy Spirit, I got on the pain train. I'm getting off right now. And that's going back to this prayer on page 90. I must have made a wrong decision, because I'm not at peace. And I'm the one who made the decision that disturbed my peace. And because I have the power of decision, I can decide to go back to peace. And all the consequences of my wrong decision, I can give them to the Holy Spirit, who will heal and transform those consequences. I love that. I just love that. It says, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision. So then we slip and slide and we start saying, wait a minute. Maybe all things don't work together for good. Maybe this is an exception. We're slipping and sliding down that slippery slope of our opinions and judgments, and we start to feel the pain train going. We can go, oh, wait a minute, I decided wrongly. I'm giving it all to the Holy Spirit. I'm deciding for the Holy Spirit right now. all the consequences of my wrong decision will be healed if I let the Holy Spirit do the healing. Again, we don't have to figure out how. We simply allow. That is this amazing opportunity that we have every day in every moment to allow our healing. It's a gift. It's a gift to, that we can give to ourselves to recognize we are not born to suffer. We are born to rise and shine and to demonstrate what that really means so that others around us will be inspired to get off the pain train too. So we don't have to try and convince anyone to get off the pain train. We just demonstrate it. And the people will say, oh, that's how it's done. That's what I'm doing. As I learn something, I share it. I extend it. This is the teaching of A Course in Miracles. So let me just tune in here and see what else to be shared today, because we have a whole nother class on this tomorrow. And I'm going to give you some real practical tools and application for recognizing how to get off the pain train and to transform the pain into learning. That's so helpful, so that we don't have to keep repeating the same things over and over again like a hamster on a wheel. So let me just tune in here for a moment and see what else there is to share before I close this out with a prayer. I think the main thing that I'd like to share as we're closing out here is to share with you this. I started offering these Living A Course in Miracles classes in the spring of 2011. And when I began to, when I got the idea to do these classes at the end of 2010, I had no idea how I could ever accomplish this. I didn't have the funds. I didn't have the resources. I didn't know what I was doing. But I was willing. I was really willing to let Spirit move through me and to lead me and guide me. And it was a real adventure, and it continues to be an adventure. And there are times when it's really challenging because the technology is changing and there's so many moving parts to offering a class like this. You might be surprised at just how many people full-time employed it takes to put on a class series like this. And I'm so grateful now that we can offer it for free, that we've built enough of a base that we can offer it for free and know, feel confident in our hearts that the donations that come in will cover the cost of the staff and all the different services that are needed to put on a class like this. So I'd like to say thank you to all the people over the years who purchased these classes, who've made donations and contributions, all the people who've helped spread the word about these classes and to share them with friends and study groups and things like that. So because without you, it couldn't have happened. And Spirit taught me to have faith that you come along. So thank you. Thank you for answering the call. I answered my call. You answer yours. And together we're rising. All boats rise on this tide of love. One more thing I'd like to share with you before I pray is that, well, actually two more things. One is there are a lot of free resources for you at livingacourseinmiracles.com and jenniferhadley.com. So please go and explore those websites, including the free A Course in Miracles app, free at iTunes, and for your iPad or your iPhone. And we are already in the process of making it for an Android, so that more people can download that free app and use it to strengthen their daily practice. I offer a free daily prayer at jenniferhadley.com. You can sign up for my daily email and get the prayer information in your email every day. And remember that all of these classes are free for downloading. You'll have the transcripts soon, and you can print them out and share them with your study group and with other people. And I encourage you to come back and listen again. That's one of the things that literally hundreds, thousands, maybe people have told me over the years, that re-listening to the classes, they hear so much more the second time, and it surprises them. So some people like to read and listen. The more you listen, the more you will hear, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. As we relinquish a block to love, we re-listen to the class, and things that were blocked before, now we can hear them. And I find that's true for me, and that's why my Course in Miracles book is so well-worn, is because I read things again for the first time over and over again. So, yes, 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 yes. Thank you for joining me today. Let's move into prayer here and seal it with a prayer. So I invite you to place your hand on your heart as we take this breath of love and gratitude together and allow the higher Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us to any awareness that can be helpful to us. We're opening our hearts and minds to love ourselves free of the habit of getting on the pain train. We are grateful and thankful to recognize the divine alarm clock going off. Whenever there's a thought that's not true, we are willing to open our hearts and minds to the truth that sets us free. We are allowing ourselves to recognize that we are the one we've been waiting for, and that we are the decision maker, and we are making a decision for love. Loving ourselves free of all limitations, all beliefs, allowing them to permanently dissolve and resolve back to the root cause so we never experience them again. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all. In gratitude, we let the healing be. We know the healing is done, and so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me today. Mwah! See you tomorrow in homework class.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.